Ask a VC by Ryan Floyd. Thoughts on venture capital and growing your SaaS startup.
Hey everyone, my name is Ryan Floyd. I'm a managing director at Storm Ventures. We're an early stage B2B focused venture fund. Welcome to the new episode of my podcast series, Ask a VC, where I give advice to you to help you grow your SaaS business, similar to what I'd be sharing with you if I was an investor or advisor on the board of your company. I originally recorded most of these episodes as videos, which you can see on my YouTube channel, Ask a VC. So as a result, please excuse any visual references in the podcast, though I don't think there are many. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so today we're going to talk about what is SaaS and what are subscriptions. I've gotten a few comments about the jargon and some of the things that I talk about in the videos. And so I want to take this opportunity maybe to just take it up a level and talk about really the basics of what is SaaS and subscriptions. Because I think it's important for anyone that's in technology, whether you're investing in private companies, you're building a private company, or looking at public companies, to really understand what is SaaS, because a lot of people throw that jargon around. So here I am, I'm going to try and break it down for you and make it very simple. So why should you care about the software as a service? Well, here's why. Software as a service, now that it's delivered via your browser, makes it so much easier to develop great code. The reason is the world we lived in before these awesome fiber optic connections and mobile phones that were the equivalent of computers in your pocket, people actually had to install software locally. It was what was called the client-server age and time. And actually before that, we were dealing with mainframes. And maybe in another video, I'll go back in the history of how computers and software has evolved. But from that client-server period, people actually had to go and install software on a local area network and make things work, and they were tightly coupled, which meant if you were a software developer and you had a new feature that you wanted to introduce, you couldn't just simply release it into production and have everyone consume it. You actually had to convince the customer to upgrade the software on-premise, and you had no control over that because the customer actually controlled when they were going to upgrade their servers. As a result, it made it much more difficult to get upgrades. And what added more complexity to this is often there were other dependencies in that network too. Maybe there was a database dependency. So your code ran on a server, but it had a dependency on a database that had its own upgrade cycle that you couldn't control for when Oracle or someone else was gonna make releases. And maybe the network had a dependency when they were gonna upgrade routers or they're gonna change out storage. All these things were often outside of your control, which just dramatically constrained the ability of software developers to build great code. And so that for me, one of the amazing things about SaaS and why it has pushed us so fast, so far in terms of software, is that it's really enabled developers to get great code in the hands of their customers. Okay, so there's a second thing. Outside of agile development, there's another very important thing about SaaS that makes it so exciting for us as investors, and it should make you excited as an entrepreneur and an investor in tech. And that is that SaaS dramatically increases the market size. Why do I say that? Well, if you think about it, just basically, if you have to install software locally, you have to go through all this hassle of doing that, there's a limited number of customers that are gonna be able to go through that process to make that work, to expend the energy, the cost, the technical chops to do it. Now with SaaS, you can deliver it to anyone. And what's more is you can charge them over the web. You don't have to visit a single customer anymore. You don't have to mail them a CD-ROM. You don't have to go out and visit them. You can make it so easy to consume that all of a sudden now, so many more organizations can get value out of your product. And because it's cheaper to get your product, your software to your customer base, you don't need to charge as much in order for those customers to use it. So as a result, the market is just massive for these software companies that it just wasn't simply the case before. My favorite example is CRM. It used to be that CRM was really only a product, which stands for Customer Relationship Management. It's the product that Salesforce is well known for. It used to be that only really large companies took advantage of CRM. But today, virtually every single business of virtually any single size uses CRM, because you can buy it at any price point that's right for your business. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of the costs associated with SaaS. There's no free lunch. It's sometimes hard for you to remember because the pros just so dramatically outweigh the cons with SaaS. But let me just mention a few. The first one and the big one that most people cite is that if you're running software outside your organization, as in the case with SaaS, and it's not running locally, you're not in control of that application and, more importantly, the data anymore. You're relying on a third-party provider that's running your software, somewhere in the cloud that has your data. You're relying on them to be secure and to protect that asset, which is yours. Now, when you run it internally in your own enterprise, you are in control of your own security, and that gave a lot of people the sense that they were more secure. I think it's largely proven to be false that companies are more secure when they run internally, that there's just as many security breaches internally, and I probably argue you're more secure running in a public cloud environment with the right security controls than you are internally, but that is a legitimate concern that people have raised in the past. So I'd say there's one other big con to SaaS, and that's network connectivity. We take it for granted today that we're connected all the time. As we're rolling out now, starting to roll out 5G networks, we have amazing connectivity with Wi-Fi just about everywhere we go. But there are some situations where we don't have connectivity. Think like maybe you're on an airplane and you don't want to pay for the low-speed Wi-Fi on a flight. Well, in that case, a lot of the applications that you're used to using just simply are not going to work. Now, there's workarounds to this. You can use most mail applications work offline and so forth, but most SaaS applications are not going to work offline, and that is a downside for those that don't have connectivity. Okay, so now let's talk about subscriptions. We talked about SaaS, and now let's talk about subscriptions. They are not the same thing, and a lot of people conflate the two. So subscription simply means that you're selling a product, and it could be SaaS, on a subscription basis, just like you'd buy the New York Times or you'd buy a gym membership. There's really no different to it, and it's a business model. So the way I think about it is SaaS is a technology, right? It's an application delivered over the web to you via a browser versus enterprise software, client server. Those are all technology delineations versus subscription, which is really a business model. And the two are different. Now, it is true that a lot of SaaS companies also have a subscription model, and there's a lot of excitement, which I share, around SaaS subscription businesses, but the two are not exactly the same. So let me break down now a little bit about subscriptions. So most companies that are in SaaS will charge either on a monthly or an annual, or sometimes they'll sign a multi-year deal for a subscription to their SaaS product. Because remember, if you're not installing it on-prem, as you did in the old days, you basically can consume it on an annual basis or even on a monthly basis. And if you decide you don't want it anymore, you can terminate your subscription. It's really one of the beautiful things about SaaS. And if you've seen my churn videos, you know one of the things I really focus on is delivering value. So one of the things with the subscription value business model is now that you're really focused on delivering value to the customer instead of selling them a bill of goods. You're not selling them a used car now and now walking away. You're actually having to continue to deliver value day in, day out, month after month, year after year, in order to get your customers to continue to pay. This is why it's called as a service, and it's a subscription. And it's very important when you get back to the thinking about how do you really build value over time. Because it's that subscription model, it forces the whole organization to really think about building value. And as I've said before, like in the churn video, the important part of that is that now if you're focused around that, you're going to be continuing to build value to that customer over time. Okay, now there's a lot, I'll make one last point. There's a lot of different subscription models. Even within SaaS, you have kind of the iconic software companies like Salesforce that in a lot of ways really pioneered the whole concept of SaaS, to companies today like Twilio that really pay per use that you could argue are absolutely SaaS companies, but maybe not really a subscription model because it's pay per use, but nevertheless a fantastic business. You could also take a look at other companies like, let's say, Peloton, which is in the process right now of going public, that calls himself a subscription business. And true, it is a subscription business, much like just your gym is a subscription. But you know, in a case like Peloton, 20% or so of their revenues is actually tied to subscription versus the hardware, you know, at margins that are, you know, 40%+. And so it's a very different business than if you looked at Salesforce. That's not to say Peloton doesn't have a great business. I'm not here to judge that. I'm just, my point is that it's different than Salesforce or Twilio. And so my point is, when you look at these software businesses and you think about it for yourself, There's no right or wrong answer, but the important thing is to really understand what the definitions of these businesses are and to not lump them all together, because that's where you'll get into trouble.
Thanks for listening. If you found it interesting, please subscribe. If you like it, make sure to share it with your friends. If you've got a suggestion for a topic for this podcast or even a video series, then tweet me. My handle's easy. It's Ryan Floyd, all one word. Or send me an email or even leave a comment on my YouTube channel. All right, until next time, thanks. Be safe.
Thank you for listening. Visit youtube.com/askavc for a video version of this podcast.